And Jesus said to them, Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Rogation Sunday. Rogare from the Latin means to ask. And so today is a day of petition. And in our own parish life, we'll be making petitions at the offertory, in a moment of silence in particular, making a petition that God will continue to supply the needs of our parish or to provide abundantly for our parish for a vibrant ministry in this holy place, and thanking him for his abundant provision. Rogation Day is also set aside that we might ask that God would bless the planting of the crops in the springtime, that we would have an abundant harvest in the fall. So we're also petitioning for that. Give us this day our daily bread. It's part of that extension of that prayer in the Lord's Prayer, that he would provide for all our needs. God, the Creator, who is continuously bringing forth what we need for our sustenance, for our health, body, soul, and spirit. And it also is Rogation Sunday to ask, and we have this gospel lesson which has an extraordinary statement from our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And so let's hear that again. That's phrase exactly. Verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Whatsoever ye ask. We had this earlier in the Last Supper discourse, where we find this account recorded by the Apostle John. We have another statement that Jesus says to the disciples, and this we heard this week when we celebrated the feast of St. Philip and St. James, the gospel appointed from St. John's chapter 14. And here's where he says, verily, verily, that means truthfully, truthfully, this is without doubt to be believed. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, how do we make sense out of these words? We know in the maturity of our Christian walk that God is not like the genie in the bottle. We can't just rub the side of the bottle and then, your wish is my command. And then we tell him what to do and he does it. We know that's not how God operates. So what do we understand then? To ask God in the name of Jesus anything and he will give it. This is a conundrum for us, perhaps, because we have made prayers that have not been answered. We have made petition to God and we haven't received. Some people in the beginning of their Christian faith, they ask for all kinds of things, you know, and it doesn't come. Some people as they advance through the Christian life, come to a place of near despondency and despair because they've made petition for a loved one and that loved one is not recovering, for example, from a disease. We had, I remember a parishioner coming to me asking if we would please pray for his friend because he was coming into near despair after attending the bedside of his mother who was dying by degrees year after year. And he prayed, God, please, just help her recover or take her. And she just kept on, you know, in a slow decline. And it was wearing him out, his petitions. Nothing was happening. How do we make sense of that? I think the best answer that I've found comes from St. Augustine. And he will show us that the key to understand this scripture is that we are praying in the name of Jesus. And the name Jesus means something. It means God our Savior. And so if we pray according to salvation, God will hear our prayer. That he will answer those prayers immediately and in his will and effectively, according to, you know, the best way that we can receive it, when we pray according to salvation. And this is the deep understanding that we must arrive at, I think, if we're going to succeed in our prayers and pray and have prayers answered and enter into the joy that is ours. Hitherto have you asked nothing. Ask that your joy may be full. Here we can experience the fullness of joy when we pray according to God's will, which is God wills our salvation, to pray according to salvation. That is to pray in the name of Jesus, God our Savior. So this is takes us, you know, way past. It's the humble way of prayer. We're praying now according to God's will, not our will. We're coming to a place where we don't see God as a means to our end, but instead as the end in himself. So once we grasp the central idea that, or perhaps better put, once we grasp the ultimate reality that God is love and that he wills our salvation and that he is our chief joy, then we're praying for that God would himself be the answer to our prayers, or praying according to salvation. We're seeing him as the true end, but not a means to an end. So he's not my ticket to win the lottery. God is actually the plenitude of the lottery itself. He is the winnings. So we see this kind of prayer demonstrated to us in the Book of Common Prayer. It is writ large for us because we are a Bible-based faith tradition. And as believing Christians, we hold in high prominence the Word of God as true, and we follow the truth of God's Word as recorded in Scriptures. And here is the way that we do it in the Anglican way, is to pray those Scriptures. So we're continuously praying according to salvation. And if you look at the petitions that we make in the Holy Communion, you'll see that again and again we're praying in the right way. We're praying according to those things that bring salvation. And so if we were to say, you know, take for example, say there was somebody who was, you know, praying, they just want to get rich. Say they just pray to get rich. And they really want to be worldly rich, like they want worldly wealth. Is that in itself a bad thing? No. Is it possible that by the grace of God they may be the holder of great wealth? Possible. Would they be accountable as a steward for that great wealth? Yes, they would. And is that their true end? No. Because at a certain point they have to leave it all behind when they graduate from this world to the next. And all those things that they held in their hands for a time, they now have to release. So the true riches aren't that. The true riches are Christ himself. And so this is the way that we pray. We're shown how to humble ourselves to God's will. Thy will be done, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we see that again and again. A person may pray to get rich. I want to get rich. It may never come. But what if they pray that God will forgive their sins? Will that come? If a person with repentance, praying with contrition in their heart, heartfelt sorrow for their sin, I mean, they really mean it, and they confess that they've done the wrong thing because they recognize that now, that they're outside of the bounds of God's love. They make that confession, and they ask God sincerely to forgive them, and they have purpose of amendment. They're going to not walk in that false way anymore. They're not going to go away from their father's house. They're going to come toward the father's house. They're not going to leave like the prodigal son. They're going to come back like the prodigal son in repentance. Will God hear that prayer? Oh, yes, he will hear that prayer. Immediately, there is an answer to that prayer. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We believe that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is immediate. That confession prayer is heard, and the angels of heaven rejoice over the sinner that repents. Well, that prayer is answered. It's answered right away because it's according to salvation. If a person is, reading the Bible and they come into a particular passage that strikes them, and they know that it leads them closer to God, and they pray, God, give me that. This is the way to pray more and more of him day by day. And so we'll see that as we pray together in the prayers of the Holy Communion. When we pray that God would you please, God, we beseech thee. What? We cry unto God in the Mass. We beg of him. Will you please send thy Holy Spirit? That by thy word and Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may become the body and blood of Christ. Will God answer that prayer? Yes, he answers that prayer because it's according to salvation. We need that bread for our salvation. This is the true and living bread, that if a man eats it, he will never die. God says to God in the Lord Jesus Christ says to us, verily I say unto you, Jesus says, if a man eats of my body and drinks of my blood, he has everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This prayer is answered. We see that in the communion rite. Our repentance prayer is answered. Our petition that God would give to us the gift of grace at the altar, that is answered. These prayers are answered. They're according to salvation. They are according to the name Jesus, which means God our Savior. And so we see that unfold for us in the mystery of this prayer together. Our hearts are instructed in the way that we should pray true prayers. Ask that your joy may be full, not for those things that are passing away, but for those things that are eternal. And so may we this morning pray true prayers. May we be instructed in our hearts by the gift of grace given to us, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And may we pray according to salvation in the name of Jesus. And be blessed and edified. I heard once in a sermon that we do well to conclude every prayer in the name of Jesus. And the way the pastor said it made it sound a little bit childlike. Like if we just, you know, say everything in the name of Jesus, it'll go through the filter and he'll make it right. That all of our misunderstandings and false prayers and, you know, false hopes and wherever our hearts are misdirected, you know, because they're not directed to him, all that will get filtered out if we pray in the name of Jesus. And maybe it sounds a bit childlike to think that. Just pray it through Jesus and it'll all be, you know, somehow filtered and correct and made right. But I think there's something to it. We certainly do that in our prayer book. All the collects end with, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth one God, world without end. Amen. It's all through Jesus. And we see the great petition prayer that we make for others, our intercessory prayer, and the prayer for the state of Christ Church, it ends with, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the canon of the Mass, all the prayers we're praying for our salvation, and for the benefits we receive, the innumerable benefits we receive according to what Christ would give us, it all culminates through a great recitation of the glorious name of the Savior Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so let us make our prayers today through his name, making proper petition unto him according to salvation, and finding that, see that our prayers are definitively answered by God according to salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.